Testing, 1, 2, 3, test.
See, you gotta dip in when you talk, you know? Pretend it's like a piece of chocolate. You're about to take a bite. And I've never done a podcast in my life, so I'm quite nervous. I was going microphone shopping for a million years, and I still think I bought the wrong thing. It looks cool, right?
It does look cool.
But like a spaceman?
I'm waiting for the Tupac.
I love how you're like backing up, like that helps the situation at all. Like, let me just test this out and back up really far away to see if it will pick up audio.
I'm just trying to test it out and see if it works.
All right, well, come in, put your chair, no, the wrong angle, dude, like this way, yeah.
Welcome to the We Are LA Tech Weekly Podcast, the first podcast focused exclusively on LA Tech, hosted by Tech Zulu's Esprit Devora, born and raised LA. In the first half of the episode, we'll discuss how one Santa Monica startup got funded from being submitted to a random website and how to outsource your dating in LA. In the second half, with LA startup attorney Damian Robinson, we'll be sharing how to find the best attorney for your startup, whether to give a law firm equity in order to defer payment, the best blogs to read for free startup legal advice, and how soon you get an attorney.
But I'm here with my friend Damian, who is a startup attorney. We Are LA Tech podcast is the first podcast in LA Tech, and I'm really excited to focus on what's going on in this city. I love Damian because it's hard to trust an attorney. No offense, all you attorneys out there. And he specializes in startups. So I thought it'd be great for a first convo. On top of that, I feel comfortable with you. So that helps.
You may be the only person.
So you were asking me some questions that I wouldn't answer before we started. So
that's right. The first one is, what is a podcast?
So a podcast, in my opinion, is a way for me to listen to something without worrying about watching it, which is why I thought it'd be great to start an LA Tech podcast. I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I end up on my iPhone going into the video and trying to get Safari to play, like iPhone 5 changed their whole settings. So trying to get to play just the audio. And now with a podcast, I don't even have to worry about that. Yeah. Have you ever listened to a podcast before?
I listened to one once.
The one you're listening to right now?
Well, no. Aside from this one, I listened to one once. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, so it wasn't that memorable.
I successfully listened to one podcast.
Oh, great.
It's probably still on my
phone. Do you know what an app is?
Yes, I do know what an app is.
Okay, so what questions do you have about the We Are LA Tech podcast?
Aside from what is a podcast?
Yes.
We covered that, I think. Why did you decide to put together an LA Tech podcast?
Okay, so this goes back to, I had a sports media company, as you know, that I was really, really, really enthusiastically passionate about, that I still am absolutely passionate about, even though it doesn't exist today. And to me, recreating a media company in the form of We Are LA Tech is reinventing my sports media company that I felt dynamic about, except that instead of the troublesome video, now it's just audio. So I could look like what I call myself, what I call myself 10 minutes ago, the washed out XYZ. And it's okay because no one is filming me.
That's fair enough. You don't look like a washed out XYZ.
And maybe an ABC.
I don't know what that means. I'm not commenting. So you've shot a few videos for We Are LA Tech too, right?
Yeah, actually. So quite a while ago now, I shot about 12 episodes. But unfortunately, as it happens, not all of them were able to be edited. So I'm hoping with this podcast together, I could also launch those videos at some point because I'm still really proud of them.
You never got around to interviewing me.
Well, you know, this is the moment.
It is.
I didn't know if you were worthy of an interview before.
I'm probably not.
I did have you on the hit list, didn't I? Back in, I was like, we got to schedule this. I think you couldn't find time. I didn't make your VIP list.
Don't try to make up for it.
So one thing I completely missed, introduce yourself. Who are you and how can people get in touch with you?
Were we supposed to do that?
Who knows? You know, experiment. Right? You're helping me pave the way.
Can I just read a resume?
Yeah.
My name is Damian Robinson. I'm an attorney with a law firm called Van Vleck, Turner & Zahler. You can look us up online at vtzlaw.com. And I specialize in startup companies and business law. Not all of them are startups anymore, but... That's what we want to see, right? We want to see them grow and get big and buy other companies or get bought. My background is I was at a big law firm I went out on my own to work specifically with startup companies about 3 years ago now, and have sort of changed and pivoted, right? Pivoted a couple of times. And I have a good group of partners now that I work with, and we handle most of the stuff that a startup company needs easily in its first 2 to 3 years. And like I said, some of them at this point are no longer startups. So everything from, you know, your basic incorporation, we have lawyers who handle labor and employment stuff, disputes, lawsuits, all, basically everything you need. We're full service for most companies. So that's us. Yeah.
So what would you say is the startup in LA that really impressed you that you're really excited about?
Is it okay if I shout out a client?
Yeah, I don't know. Attorney-client privileges? Is that safe?
No. I can shout out a client. So one of my clients, a long-term client, has started a new multi-channel network based around online gaming, and they're doing super cool stuff.
Oh, wow. How's it different than Twitch?
It's on the Twitch platform.
Okay.
But they have a bunch of amazing talent who's doing all online gaming stuff. It's called Socialtron Live.
Say it again.
Socialtron Live.
Socialtron Live.
Right.
Cool. And I'll link to it somewhere wherever I can link to it on this podcast. I'll be sure to link to it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good. There's too many good startups.
There's a lot. It's a thriving. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Even when I met you, what was that, about 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And it was. Was that the first Silicon Beach Fest?
It was. Yeah, we met at the first Silicon
Beach Fest. And now that's such a notable event in our community.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so how would you say, let's talk about that for a second. How would you say the LA startup scene was then compared to how big it is today?
So the funny thing is when we first met, everyone was all the companies that we were meeting were super early stage, and a lot of them were cash starved. I mean, a lot of them were struggling to get financing. There was like a downturn and a lot of, you know, there was a lot of struggling. Now it doesn't seem that way at all. I mean, the companies are a lot more, the ones that I'm meeting at least are a lot further along. And there are also, obviously, there are a lot of brand new companies starting up all the time and doing amazing things. But yeah, it's so much bigger. And it's so much, just look at the Silicon Beach Fest, right? The first one, what were there, 150 people, and now they're up to 700, 800 people.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, it's been, I mean, the past 2-3 years have been,
I think Kevin said it was at 2,000 people.
Wow.
I don't know. You know what I'll do? I'm thinking about turning all the podcasts into transcription in case people prefer read instead of listen. So I'll look up, I'll reach out to Kevin from Digital LA and find out the count so it could be accurate so we're not
just
spreading rumors on a podcast.
Well, for spreading rumors, we should say it's 20,000, right?
20,000 people.
1 million people.
1 million people at Silicon Beach Fest. Heard it here first. I want to take this little break to thank Betalist. Thank you so much for your support in creating this podcast. I couldn't have done it without you. Betalist is an amazing site, betalist.com. They help pre-launch startups be discovered. And when I featured my startup on Betalist, I got over 500 signups. It was epic. So I highly recommend, if you haven't gone live with your company yet, to reach out to Betalist and get your feature.
So what companies do you like? Which ones are exciting? Who have you met?
This particular week, I have a really exciting story. I got the best news last night. So there's this company called Product Hunt. I don't know if you've heard of it. I mean, in San Francisco,
you told me about it.
Okay, it's like it's like Reddit for products, and not everybody has access to it yet. Only a few people. Not a few people, more than a few, but it's not open to just everybody. And I am grateful to have access to it. And so I found a startup via the We Are LA Tech Twitter. Not kidding. And because I like to personally reach out to everybody on Twitter. So I took this random mobile app, Santa Monica based company, and added it to Product Hunt, and they just got funded.
Wow. That's awesome.
Because I added it to Product Hunt. Datezer.
Wait, you've told me about this before.
I spread it. I put it on my Facebook and I put it everywhere because I was so excited. First of all, when I first put it to Product Hunt, it made the homepage. So I was already dancing around, right?
Okay.
And so I posted everywhere that I was so excited that it was on the homepage, knowing the site attracted, you know, the top investors in Silicon Valley and in Los Angeles and the top tech journalists. And so I already knew it was a good thing. But when the founder called me last night, and because afterward, obviously, I reached out to find out who the team was. I had no clue. I didn't know them whatsoever. It was all based on the Twitter.
Wait. Tell us what it does first.
So it gives you date ideas. It's like location-based date ideas.
Oh, that's super cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. So now I can go on Tinder, find the dude, and then go on Dateser to know where we're going.
Okay.
You know, very efficient.
You can know you, how like, I recommend things.
You know how I like to outsource my love life. So now I'm outsourcing my love life to mobile apps. So yeah, she called me last night and she said she got funded, and I screamed. I was on 10th in Colorado, and I was so excited. I screamed. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe by simply submitting something to something I happened to have access to, it was able to create such a positive impact in someone's life. And it really made it clear to me why this podcast is so important. Like, I hope that I have every single investor possible and every single, you know, influential person possible to be listening to this podcast and to expose all the wonderful startups in LA so that they can, my mom always says half the world is looking for the other half of the world, but they don't know how to find them. So I just like, I happen to have access to this thing. I upload, they get funded. I'm hoping that, you know, different people that are on We Are LA Tech podcast, other people will listen, and then who knows what will happen. They could get acquired or funded or find their founder or whatever it is, you know? Yeah. That's or customers. Awesome. That always helps.
So everybody check out Dateser.
Dateser. Dateser is where it's at. What are some of the top concerns startups have?
So the main concern is finding money from people to invest. Finding investors is a huge challenge for a lot of startups, especially the early stage startups. And one of the things a lot of times is people who haven't started a company before kind of struggle to figure out the basic stuff that they need to know at the beginning, sort of like we were talking about before. Should you set up an LLC? Should you set up a corporation? How should you share the stock between the founders? Things like that. And so a lot of those things are challenging for a first-time entrepreneur, just because it's sort of a new challenge and a new adventure, and if you haven't done it before, it's much harder at the beginning. So a lot of things to look at are, there are a few great blogs online about how to set up. Startup Company Lawyer is a great one, and Brad Feld's blog has a lot of stuff about financing and corporate structure and things like that that are super helpful, especially if you're going through it the first time.
You know what's funny is you talking about first-time entrepreneurs and their legal concerns, but one of my friends was the CEO of this huge startup at the time, and when he got funded to start his next startup, he didn't know, I can't even, maybe you remember what it's called, I'm going to butcher how you even define it, but if you don't set up this specific thing in the beginning, if you sell your company for X amount of money, then you get a lot more taken out in taxes. If you don't file something or do something legally, I don't even remember. But the point is, it's not just first-time entrepreneurs. It's also entrepreneurs more advanced that have a lot more money to deal with. If they don't know how to set up things right at the beginning, they could lose a lot of money.
That's definitely true. The thing you're talking about sounds like a Rule 83B election.
That is it. Yeah. That is it. You know, you must be an attorney.
because I'm always struggling to get people to send them in. No, that's one of the few things, and it does make sense. Most lawyers that work with startup companies will give you a consultation at the very beginning just to give you some guidance on what to do, even if you're going to try to do it all yourself. At least having the basic ground rules about, you know, how do we give equity out to the founders? What kind of company should we set up? And things like that. How many shares of stock we should have? All these basic things that most startup attorneys just know because everyone does things more or less the same way. For startups, companies that are, you know, tech startups specifically, that just getting that, you know, 15, 30 minute conversation or phone call is a great way to just get started and get going in the right direction and pointed to the resources that can help you.
So We were talking about different questions startups have, and I'd love to provide some answers. So we were talking about equity and how to divide things up and all that. So let's review. What are the top three questions?
So the question I get all the time is, should we set up a company, or when's the right time to set up a corporation or an LLC?
I mean,
You asked me that on your way in.
Right. I was like, should I set up an LLC because I'm doing a podcast for We Are LA Tech? And
my answer was as soon as possible, which is always my answer. It never hurts to set up an LLC for a company, or in the case of most startups, actually a corporation. The reason is that you want to protect yourself and start separating out the corporation as a separate legal entity from the individual founders. It's a lot of lawyer jargon for if somebody sues you, they can't sue you personally. So that's really important. And it's also really important, what we see with a lot of companies is that people will work as partners, and then one person will leave, or there's a dispute over equity, and then nobody really knows who owns what. And the other reason is we get companies that come in and say, we're trying to get some investment and we need to form a company right now because we're trying to get investment. And it's a lot harder to try to form the company. It slows down the process, and it's much easier to just do it at the beginning. It's not that expensive. And basically, if cost is an issue, as it is for most founders, you can even just do it yourself and then have somebody come in and correct it and make whatever changes you want down the road when you're ready to do an investment round. But at the very beginning, at least just having something in place is a lot better than having nothing.
What would you say some of the top resources are in LA for entrepreneurs? Let's say they can't afford an attorney. Where would you tell someone to go who can't afford an attorney?
That's a good question. I mean,
I'm glad I asked a good one.
So, like I said, I mean, most attorneys will consult with you for, a few minutes or more than that, just especially if they like the idea, they think it's a cool company. They'll give you a little bit of help and guidance at the beginning. A lot of companies I know just use LegalZoom or something like that to get set up at the very beginning. And, you know, while it's not ideal, it's better than nothing.
Now, why isn't it ideal?
Most startup companies that are traditional tech startups, online companies, things like that, there's a particular structure that investors tend to invest in more than others. And so you end up with LegalZoom, you don't have all of that structure in place. So eventually you have to have a lawyer rework the incorporation documents, the bylaws, things like that to get the company in a state where an investor would want to invest money in the company. So, but that said, if you do a basic incorporation through one of these incorporation services, at least you get everyone's equity divided up as you want it. And you can work out a lot of the other stuff later as long as everyone's share of the company is figured out at the beginning.
Now, how can you know who to trust? Because I found when I was first starting out as an entrepreneur, there's this excitement that if you work with a law firm that has a strong association with a venture capitalist, you're extra cool if you get to work with that law firm. From personal experience, I was extra stupid to work with such an expensive law firm, but I didn't know at the time. And now when I have legal questions, I go to you because I know I could trust you. You have this experience of working with super big firms, and you have really intimate knowledge about startups. So how can someone who doesn't have a you know who to trust?
Well, I think it's really important, and one thing I recommend to any potential client is go out and talk to a lot of different law firms. So a lot of bigger firms will make pretty good deals with startups that they like at the very beginning. Things like deferring when you have to start paying the bills, and doing some work basically assuming that the company is going to get funded and be able to pay the attorneys for the bigger transactions that come along. And so that's an option for a lot of companies, and that's getting more and more popular. But really the main thing
is... Yeah, but that means that, I mean, just to clarify, that means a law firm is taking equity, right? In order to defer the bills, they're taking equity in exchange for that.
In a lot of cases, yes.
And you think that's an okay thing to, you encourage that, or it's all dependent? Or?
I think it's all dependent. For most companies, I just say find a lawyer that you're comfortable working with. And if you interview, you know, three or four law firms, just like you'd interview employees or developers or whatever it is, if you interview a few of them, you'll start to get the sense of, okay, this person knows what they're talking about, or this person doesn't know what they're talking about, or, you know, the main thing is just being a fit. Like, does a person get the company culture? Do they get what your business is about? Can they help you with the things that come up day to day, or is it going to be more of a, you know, don't bother me until you're ready to go public?
What are some red flags and what are some green flags?
So red flags, that's a good question. I mean, red flags, I think, are people who promise you a lot of things that are not related to legal work. So there are firms out there that have great contacts with venture capital. And I think that for a lot of startups, especially first-time founders who are going to struggle to find those connections, that can be worthwhile, and it's probably worth paying more for that. But you find a lot of firms who promise all these things. You know, anyone who says that they can guarantee that they're going to get you financing, I would run the other direction.
So I was just going to ask you that, because with my law firm at the time, thankfully no more, they did make all these promises that never came to fruition. It was actually to my own accord that I've raised money. So the law firm I went with did not assist in that whatsoever, though they made those promises at the beginning. So
right.
how do you know?
Do
you have paperwork in place or yeah?
No, that's something definitely to be skeptical of. And I think a lot of founders the key is to talk. Another key point to work finding an attorney that works for you is don't just go through the phone book or meet somebody at an event or something like that. Like, talk to other company founders who have been through the process, who have, you know, either had a successful exit or raised a significant amount of money.
That's a great idea, right? Talking to companies that you really respect and ask them, who is your law firm? Who do you trust?
Right. And most of them, I mean, so I'm big on Quora. I'm not big on Quora. Like, I'm famous on Quora. It's like being big in Japan.
Yeah, totally. You are a secret celebrity on Quora.
I am a Quora celebrity. No, I'm actually not.
You're like a Quora power user.
Okay, so I have 5 posts on Quora. But no, there are some posts that I looked at when I first moved to a smaller law firm about how to find a good startup lawyer, and I think they're super helpful. But what you see is that there are lawyers out there in both, you know, in both the Bay Area and in LA that have a really strong reputation for working with startup companies. And everybody has a different view about what they want, and every company is comfortable with one thing or another. But you have basically a list of people who you can at least start with interviewing just by talking to other founders in your area. I mean, there are a couple of great small boutique firms that work with startups here. There are a couple of great big firms that work with startups here. And, you know, it really is about just a fit between the founder and the lawyer. And the other thing to look at is this person going to be able to walk me through the day-to-day stuff? Because a lot of it is really, especially with first-time founders, not as much with people who've done it a few times, but with very, very young companies, a lot of it is giving the one-on-one lesson. I talked to a client the other day who said, I have a big law firm, but the partner that I work with there, he does bigger deals and bigger transactions. So explaining to me, like, how to set up an equity agreement with my co-founder he's not really as good at that because he doesn't do that all the time. So figuring that kind of thing out, I think, is important from the very beginning. It is just, you know, talking to people, figuring out who you're just generally who you like, because as you go through the process and as companies grow, even we see this with our clients, some of them will call where I would hear from them, you know, once every couple of months at the beginning. Now they're doing business development and they're negotiating licenses or whatever the case may be. And so we're talking you know, two or three times a week. So you don't want to be on the phone two or three times a week with somebody you don't really like. It's no fun for anybody. Totally.
And that's very expensive to be on the phone with your attorney two or three times a week. So one thing we're talking about is how working with the right law firm could potentially connect you to venture capitalists. But what we brought up is to find the right law firm, maybe to reach out to some startups we really respect. But actually, that's a great way to find the right investors as well. You look at a company that you really respect and you say, who invested in you?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs think that that's really the best way to go out and find investors is talk to companies you respect, figure out who their investors are. And once you develop those relationships, you know, saying, hey, introduce us to your investors right off the bat is maybe not the best idea, but most company founders get it. They've been where you are before and they're happy to talk to you about what your company's doing. They're happy to talk to you about getting investment. And over time, if you sort of hit the milestones that you're looking for and you're in a place where you are a viable investment for investors, then you can go back to the people who you talked to and who gave you guidance at the beginning. So that's absolutely true. And especially in LA, I think more than other places, there is a really, there's a really supportive culture for entrepreneurs. There's not a lot of, even companies that are competing, a lot of times the founders are friends and talk and share ideas. And it's not, I've never really, I suppose it happens, but it's rare to hear stories about people just refusing to talk to a new company founder or, you know, not wanting to do that. I think here in particular, everybody's good about that. There's a strong community here.
Do you suggest finding an attorney before raising money or waiting till after you raise money? Or what if you're not planning on raising money at all? How soon should you find an attorney?
I'm biased, but I say, you know, find an attorney as soon as possible, just because at the beginning, there's not a lot of work for the attorney to do. You set up the company, and then as contracts come in or licenses or, you know, the company starts dealing with other companies and making money, then you need it more and more. But the finding somebody at the beginning, there's no real harm in hiring somebody and then not having a lot of work for them. I mean, with a lot of clients, I'll hear from them every 4 months, and they need this or that, and then, you know, as they grow, maybe they need more stuff or not, but whatever the case is, but just finding somebody that's the right fit. So that the other benefit is like we've talked about, you can always call, and lawyers that work with startup companies a lot understand that you can't afford to pay for every phone call. So they'll cut you a little slack if you just say, hey, you know, I need, here's this issue I'm having. What do you think we should do? And so those kind of conversations can be helpful. And most of the good startup attorneys have been through the process a few times. So it's not just, you know, write a contract for me, but here's a situation we're in with this deal that we're trying to do. What should we do on a business side? Like a question I get all the time is, how should we divide up the equity between the founders? And that kind of thing is not necessarily a legal answer. It's just, you know, I've done this. I've answered this question many, many times before. So, you know, I can help you even if I can't give you the right answer or give you, you know, an exact answer about how to do it.
You could help pave the way for people to find the right answer that's for them. And that's one thing I want to encourage in all the talks I give and all the panels I moderate and in this podcast. The thing that I've learned from being an entrepreneur since I was a teenager are two things. One, we have to create our own story, and that our intuition is our oracle, at least in my opinion. So I think that's what you're saying is you've done a lot of things for a lot of different entrepreneurs, but everybody has to create the situation that's right for them.
Yeah. At the end of the day, and that's one of the, we were talking before about like red flags and green flags. Well, the thing you're really looking for, I think most of the clients I have, at least the thing they're looking for is, for the most part, they want somebody who, when they come in and say, I want to do this crazy thing, says, okay, let's figure out how to do the crazy thing that you want to do. But within limits, right? If there's something that is just can't be done, you want somebody who's going to tell you this can't be done, or it's not feasible, or it's going to be too expensive, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, I mean, most of the companies I work with, they don't want to hear do things this way because this is how everybody does things. It's like, I want to do it my own way. And so find a way to, you know, find a way to get that done. And I think that's, I mean, that's why you're an entrepreneur, right? You want to do things the way that you see them, and you have your vision, and the lawyer should, I mean, the lawyer's there to support that at the end of the day, not to, to tell you no and why you can't do it. So
totally. Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give you a hug even though it's a podcast. I appreciate you doing the first one. And bye, guys. I hope you liked it. Thank you to Tech Zulu and Digital LA for always supporting me and the community and being the best we can possibly be. And thank you to Jay Hoffman Live for creating the beat you heard at the beginning and end of this podcast. Last but definitely not least, the most very special thanks and appreciation goes to my mom for always believing in me.